Turn with me in God's Word to that first chapter of Daniel that we read a few moments ago. Daniel chapter 1. We know, and certainly in this past 12 months, we have learnt by experience that life is uncertain. It always has been. It always will be. And God in His Word exhorts us and encourages us to prepare now, not for tomorrow, but for eternity. And we should never treat lightly that exhortation in Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But there is something within our hearts that longs for and hankers after a settled path, a smooth way. But we know that reality is a very different experience. And we know that things happen in our lives that suddenly change the course of our lives and impact upon our lives. Perhaps it's illness. Perhaps it's bereavement. Perhaps it's unemployment. And these experiences, which come in the providence of God, are like a wake-up call. They're like that alarm clock that goes off in the early morning. And so we are suddenly taken out of our routine, and we are taken out of our comfort zone. And in Jerusalem, God's people, Judah, they had turned away from God. They imagined that they could live as they pleased. They no longer lived in dependence upon God. And what a slippery slope sin is. They had repeated warnings from the prophets. God sent judgments among them, but they refused to turn again unto their God. And so Babylon was used as an instrument in the hand of God to chastise His people. And we read in the opening verses of Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And so the book of Daniel is set in Babylon, the heart of present-day Iraq, almost 700 miles northeast of Israel. And the events that are recorded in the book of Daniel took place some 2,500 years ago. And yet there are lessons for us today in this wonderful book. And amongst those captives that were taken captive to Babylon, there was a godly remnant. Not all had forsaken God in those days. God had preserved a remnant unto himself. And the book of Daniel tells us of four of these godly men. Verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I want us to consider primarily my text this morning is found in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I want us to consider this chapter this morning under three headings. Firstly, understanding the times. Understanding the times. Secondly, putting the Lord first. And then thirdly, the Lord is sufficient. Firstly, then, understanding the times. It's difficult for us to imagine the upheaval and the trauma for these four young men, uprooted from their home, transported from the land that they knew and all that was familiar to them. And that's a great lesson. Even though they were counted amongst the godly remnant, they were not spared the judgment, but they were kept through God's judgment upon his people. And we can apply that to ourselves today in the 21st century. The Lord's people are not spared the judgments of God. This present pandemic, it's impacted upon our lives. It's impacted upon our church life, as it has upon the lives of everyone else. But God will keep his people through times of difficulty and through times of judgment. And of course, in many ways, this present crisis cannot compare with the captivity. And we can sense something of the depths that those captives plumbed to and must have felt. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Judah had reaped what they had sown, as do we all. That's the clear teaching of the scriptures. We read in Galatians and chapter 6, and at the 7th verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And how true that is of the nations of the world at this time. How true it is of our nation. We have sown the wind and reaped the whirlwind. And the scriptures exhort us. They command us to examine our own hearts, because how easily we deceive ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things, we read in Jeremiah. And under these conditions, and how that 137th Psalm helped us to visualize what it must have been like for those captives in Babylon. But Daniel and his three friends, not only did they stand firm, but they shone forth in their testimony and witness to the Lord. In the circumstances in which they found themselves, and those circumstances were of the Lord. It was the providence of God that they were in Babylon. You see, as we read in those opening verses, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And was it the might of Nebuchadnezzar? Was it his military strategy that gained him the victory? No. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And what we experience today, and what we experience throughout our lives, is from the hand of God. Now, of course, the providence of God can be to us a great mystery, but it is from the hand of God. He has a purpose and he has a plan in all things. And even in these days in which we live, our generation surely has been raised up for such a time as this, just as God raised up Daniel and the other three for such a time as they were called to live through. And so here is the first application, the first lesson that we learn from Daniel, that Christian character and our usefulness for the Lord and our usefulness in the service of the Lord is forged in the furnace of experience. And it is through the trials and through the traumas of life that God in his providence, even in the mystery of providence, brings into our lives. It is through those trials and traumas, as we live them, through them, by the grace of God, that they should produce maturity of character, that they should equip us the better to serve our Lord and our Master and our Saviour. So how important it is that we understand the times. And Daniel helps us to understand the times, even the times in which we live. Secondly, then, putting the Lord first, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Why did Daniel refuse the food that was offered from the king's table? Well, it was the practice of the Chaldeans that all the food that was prepared for every meal, that it was offered to idols before the meal was commenced. And the great sin of Judah had been the sin of idolatry. They had broken the great command of God, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And so Daniel and his friends, they find themselves in this situation in Babylon. And they're offered the finest of food, the finest of drink. But it had been offered to idols prior to eating. And Daniel would have nothing to do with idolatry. He feared God. He would not break the law of God. He could have thought, well, our circumstances are difficult, but at least we've got the best provisions. But no, Daniel, his priority was to put God first. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And we must apply that to ourselves, that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whatever circumstances God in his providence brings into our path, do we purpose in our hearts to put the Lord first? First above everything. You see, what Daniel did was he consecrated his life unto the Lord his God. And how the Lord can use a consecrated life. But we are weak. We are men and women. We are flesh and blood. And there are times, I'm sure, when we feel and we experience, perhaps we've had one setback after another setback, one disappointment after another disappointment. And the enemy of our souls comes in and Satan tempts us to despair, to give up. And what should we do when we feel tempted to despair, when we feel tempted to give up? Well, we are to remember Calvary love. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. And when we're tempted to despair, when the circumstances of life would overwhelm and we feel, what is the point in continuing? We must look again, we must look away to Calvary's cross. And if this morning, by grace, because God has met you in grace and mercy, if this morning you can look to Calvary and you can say, there the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There the Son of God took my place upon that cross at Calvary, in my place, condemned, he stood. And Daniel, he knew the love of God. He had experienced the love of God. And he purposed in his heart that in every circumstance, he would put the Lord first. That was his priority. Daniel purposed in his heart. And the Christian life and our corporate Christian life within the church has many seeming setbacks, sorrows and sadnesses. And let me illustrate this for you with an incident from the life of William Carey. William Carey has been called the father of modern mission. And William Carey, he faced many discouragements. The Lord had called him to go to India and serve his Savior in India. But Carey faced many discouragements and great opposition from family, from friends, and from ministers of the gospel who sought to discourage him in this great enterprise of taking the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But William Carey purposed in his heart. He knew that the Lord would have him to serve him in India. Had a great burden to translate the word of God into the native tongues, to preach the gospel to those who sat in darkness. And as I've said, he faced many obstacles and many setbacks. But finally, the day came where he booked his passage on a vessel to sail to India. This was spring of 1793. And the vessel set sail. But there was a delay, and it dropped anchor in the Solent. And there it remained at anchor for 6 weeks, waiting for a convoy to escort it further. Now, Carey used his time wisely. He preached the gospel at Newport in the Isle of Wight and at Portsea, this side of Portsmouth. And then after 6 weeks, the convoy arrived. But the captain of his ship, Carey's ship, had received a letter. And Carey did not have the right license, did not have the official paperwork for him to proceed on the voyage to India. And so Carey and his colleague were put off the ship. And there from the beach at Ryde on the Isle of Wight, they watched the ship sail off for India. Can we begin to imagine the heartache, the disappointment that Carey must have felt? He knew that God had called him to India. But what was God's purpose in this further setback? And dear friends, so it is in our lives, in our church life together at times. We face setbacks. We face great disappointments. We face times of extreme heartache. But the Word of God teaches us, the book of Daniel teaches us, that God has a purpose in all things, that God is in control of every situation. And when we can only ask the question, why, we must hold on to this truth, that God has a purpose in it. And in the setbacks and in the disappointments, we must trust in the Lord who has a purpose in all things, the one who is able and the one who has promised to bring his children through. And so we see that Daniel put the Lord first. Daniel purposed in his heart. And we too must have lives that are consecrated to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then thirdly and finally this morning, I want us to see that the Lord is sufficient. And we read in the 9th verse of Daniel 1, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." In this extremity, in the situation that they found themselves in Babylon, God was at work, and God gave these young men favor in the sight of those who had the charge over them. That reminds us too, doesn't it, of Joseph. How many dark hours Joseph went through. And we can trace the hand of God. from that time that Joseph's brothers cast him into the pit, and they would have killed him, but they sold him to the Midianite traders. It was 22 years before Joseph revealed himself to his brothers as the one who was the most powerful man in Egypt. God is at work in the most difficult and darkest of circumstances. And I'm sure this morning each of us can look back on our lives and we can remember difficult and dark days. And how did we come through them? It was the Lord who brought us through. And perhaps even now we are facing circumstances that seem too great, a great barrier in front of us. And we say, how will we overcome this? How will we come through this? God has promised to bring his children through. God has promised to give strength and grace when needed. God equipped Daniel and his three friends for the task. And so we read in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God equipped them. God provided for them in the extremity of their circumstances. He didn't take them out of the circumstances, but he provided for them in those circumstances. And dear friends, this morning, it is not a cliche, and I know we often say it, but this is a promise of God. As we read together from that second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 9. In Paul's extremity, as for three times he pleaded with the Lord that the thorn in the flesh might be removed, the Lord comes to Paul and he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul can say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that is God's promise. However dark the providence, however mysterious God's dealings with us, whether as individuals, whether as a church, God has promised that his grace is all sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your seeming weakness. And that grace was evident in the life of Daniel. He purposed in his heart, his priority was to put the Lord first. And the grace of God was sufficient for Daniel in those years of captivity. And we can learn, and we must learn from Daniel. In every distress, in every unexpected turn of life, the Lord will use a life that is consecrated unto him. That is the testimony of many believers. That is the testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout history. And God is often glorified the most, and our Savior is exalted the most in the hardest of circumstances. The prophet Isaiah, we read in the 43rd chapter at the second verse. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. Sorry, I've turned to the wrong. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And when God in his providence, when God in his sovereign providence calls us to pass through the waters, to pass through the fire, we have the promise of God that underneath are the everlasting arms, that his grace is sufficient for every circumstance. Job, he could say, and perhaps even this morning there is someone here who identifies with the words of Job. Job could say this: for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which was I afraid of is come unto me. And yet, Job experienced the sustaining grace of God, and God brought him through his great trial and through his great day of suffering. My grace is sufficient for thee. And so, as we have just briefly looked and considered Daniel this morning, how we need to understand our times, understand the day in which we live, because it is of the Lord. The Lord has ordained our circumstances in his wise providence. And our characters, our Christian characters, our usefulness for the Lord are forged in the furnace of experience. And how we must, like Daniel, put the Lord first. A consecrated life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Our Saviour withheld nothing for our salvation. He gave his all. He left the glories of heaven. He came to this world of sin and woe. He suffered and bled and died upon the cross at Calvary. He was raised for our justification. And he calls us to consecrate our lives to him. Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And however hard the way, however great the mystery of providence, our God and our Saviour is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, and his strength is made perfect in weakness.